Folks, it's hard to find the perfect pair of jeans. You don't want to break the bank, but you need something that lasts. So the problem with jeans is that the really good pairs cost $200 or $300 easily, and the bargain brands just fall apart and look terrible. If you're sifting through sales racks just to find a decent pair of jeans under $100, you can call off the search party. 2017 is here, and you're already behind on this winter's hottest trend, so why not ignore all the fast fashion noise and buy something timeless? Delisted offers luxury gray denim at affordable price. Jeans that would normally cost you hundreds, Delisted has starting at just $75. They utilize the same fabrics, factories, and wash houses as the best known brands and designers, while skipping the markups and middlemen. The result, pure unadulterated denim without the retail runaround. Go to delisted.com, spelled D-S-T-L-D.com, and see where minimalist design meets maximum comfort. Delisted is your answer to elevated style without elevated prices. Just go to delisted.com right now and use the promo code FERAL at checkout and get 20% off your first pair. That's DSTLD.com, promo code FERAL. Five letters, folks. DSTLD.com for your jeans.
FERAL Audio.
Good morning. Oh, baby. Come on. Oh, yeah. Come on. Welcome to the show, everybody. Thanks for joining me here on Office Hours. This is Tim Heidecker reporting to you from Glendale, California. It is a beautiful day here at Glendale, California. I'm going to take a call, Stephen Silvestri, to get the show started. Stephen! Stephen!
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Tim, how you doing?
I'm superb, bud.
I'm the first call?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Thank you so much for taking it.
Well, how can I help you today, Stevie?
I have a question. I know you're trying to lose weight. Is that true?
Well, I'm always, you know, yeah, I mean, I'm not doing anything actively right now. I kind of took a break from trying, you know, very hard to. We've just been shooting bedtime stories, and those are just full days, you know, full 14-hour days.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to the gym at the moment, and I'm not like, you know, I'm not super cautious about what I eat. But what's your question?
Well, I'm trying to lose some weight too. I think, you know, I was just wondering if you had any advice or what kind of plan you're on. You're not supposed to eat pasta or something?
Oh, come on, man. Give me a break.
I know, right?
I mean, listen, I think we there's a way to do it long term.
Yeah, but you aren't eating rice, right? Isn't that it?
No, I'm eating rice. Listen, I did a thing like in January where I did something called the Whole 30, and you basically you take out all grains, all carbs, all sugar, alcohol, you name it, dairy. You take everything out, but like, you know, protein and greens and vegetables and fruit.
Right.
And guess what? You lose weight.
Quick.
Yeah. It drops. So if that's what you want to do, that's what you got to do.
Right.
So I would try look up the Whole 30. It was a fun challenge. I mean, but it's just not sustainable. It's just not something you can do. I couldn't do it. Here's the problem. When we do these shows, you know, these TV shows.
Yeah.
It's food everywhere.
Right.
It's peanut M&Ms, you know, as far as the eye can see.
Right, and it's probably also how you deal with stress.
Yeah,
and working long hours.
That's right. And there's a lot of waiting. There's a lot of, you know, sitting and killing time. I mean, it's a lot of work, but there's also just these down periods where, like, you know, you go set up a shot, you go block it out and talk about it, and then these guys with their lights and their scrims and their flags.
Right.
They get to work, and that's another 45 minutes to an hour, and you're sitting around, and you got people coming by with trays filled with meat and crackers and cheese, you know? And then lunch comes. You're not even hungry because you've been snacking all day. But lunch here is – and I'm not – I mean, listen, we're on the low end of the totem pole when it comes to the size and scope of these productions. But even that – you know, you got to feed a small army, and you got to keep these people happy, right?
So you can't just be passing around celery sticks.
No, you can't just like throw out some pizza and say this is lunch, you know. So, and in Los Angeles, you've got this. It's very highly competitive, but it's a good first call because I really do quite have a bit to say about this, don't I? But all these catering companies, it's very competitive, you know. So everyone's trying to outdo the other guy, and this guy that we got is making all this delicious food and barbecue ribs and what did we have the other day? It had this beautiful chicken that had with the peppercorn sauce on it and dessert and sundaes and everything you can imagine. Iced tea with lemonade.
How many people are eating? Well, how big is the staff?
I don't know, like 60 people or something like that.
Oh, shit.
I mean, it's a good number. It's a big union show, and it's somehow it just got to this place where everyone expects to get, you know, this white tablecloth service for their lunch. And it's, you know, like I said, I've seen it. I've been on commercials. I've been on big movies where it's 10 times that. It's like, you know, it's like you're going to a full four-star restaurant for lunch.
Right.
And you just kind of – so on the last show I was on, when I was doing the whole 30 thing, when we were doing Decker, I was pretty good. I would just go there and I'd get some meat and I'd get some salad, and that would be my lunch. And it was fine. But then I get lazy and I just get bored, so I just start eating. But it's also like, you got to dress right, too. You got to wear the clothes that don't make you look that bad if you're going to have a few extra pounds. See, that's the key. I think a lot of guys, they gain some weight, but they don't update their clothes, so that they have these shirts that don't fit anymore, and their buttons are starting to spread.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
You just got to go and be like, listen, man, I have got to go out to the Gap or the mall or something and just size up.
Right. Yeah, but I want to size down.
I know. Everyone wants to size down. Here's the thing. You might have to have a couple different options of clothes. Capiche? You know, you have to be like, this is my high end. Like, I've really let go this month. I feel like shit. I want to wear a big baggy shirt. You know?
Oh, God, that's so depressing.
I know. But I have it. I have, like, my big shirts and my smaller shirts, you know, and my pants that are very, very, loose. And then I've got my better stuff that when I feel like I've lost a few. So I got a couple new shirts this weekend. I just said, listen, I'm going into the spring, into the summer. I want to have a couple of good shirts that I could go to like a show with or a party to or something. And I don't feel like I'm like busting out. Kapooch! Okay.
All right, well, I'll have to visit Kohl's soon.
Go to Kohl's. Go to Today's Man, the big store, the store for big boys. All right.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tim.
All right.
It's
take care.
A pleasure.
Bye. Walker. Hello. Is this Walker Warren?
I'll have to visit Kohl's.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
This is Tim?
Yes, this is Tim. Could you mute your stream because we can hear you?
I mute my stream right now. How you doing?
I'm doing superb.
Awesome. What, is it okay if I ask a couple questions?
Shoot, I'm an open book. Let's talk.
Awesome. All right, so I want to talk about Grum.
Okay.
What? Excuse me. Can you detail the Grum origins?
Let me see if I remember. I think it was a name. It's probably not too exciting. I think we just thought of like the most generic personality free animated character. We had this name Grum. I can't remember where that came from, but. And that was it. Our animator, one of our artists, started making this character in like a 3D animation software. And like, you know, it was almost like, you know, if you could put an hour of work into something, what would you get out of it?
Right.
That was basically that.
Was he based on Shrek at all, or?
It might have been. I don't remember. I mean, there was probably a lot of Shrek stuff floating around at the time. Maybe that was an inspiration.
Is he a favorite of yours in terms of the awesome show, or?
He's
mine. Yeah. He's my standout.
I think it's a funny idea. I think it's a fun character to bring back every once in a while.
Yeah.
We brought him out on tour last time we went on tour.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Is he coming back, or?
Probably not. We don't like to repeat ourselves on the road. By the way,
right.
Get tickets if you haven't already to the Tim and Eric. Big, awesome show, 10-year anniversary of awesome show tour we're doing this summer. You can buy tickets at timanderic.com.
I'm on it.
That way, you will get in on everything. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Las Vegas right now.
Okay, well, we're not getting anywhere near there, but you can come into L.A.
You're going to L.A.?
Yeah. Come on into L.A.
Did you look into Vegas?
We played Vegas once years and years and years and years ago. It was part of this comedy TBS very funny comedy festival or something.
Right.
It was one of the worst experiences, one of the best worst experiences I think of my life. Where it was all at Caesar's Palace. And
okay. They
had a number of different acts come through. I mean, all the way from Jerry Seinfeld to, like, you know, the alt comedy scene here in L.A. Like, if you're not familiar with Ron Lynch, people like Ron Lynch and guys who were literally out in the street in the Caesars area doing like street comedy. And then we had Tim and Eric do their show, which was in one of these ballrooms, and it was a disaster because I think they didn't sell a lot of tickets and they ended up giving away a lot of tickets. And if you can imagine being, you know, a family of four from Tuscaloosa in hey. Vegas for the weekend, and someone says, here's a free ticket to a show, and they're like, oh great, this must be like
Carrot Top
or the Tiger Guys or something, you know, like a Vegas show. And they come in,
right.
And they get Michael Schmidt naked, you get David Liebehart, you get Tim and Eric doing some vomit bit or something. I don't remember what we did, but
right.
And it was in a ballroom, so it wasn't like a real theater, you know. It was like a conference room, like a big conference room kind of thing, with like a makeshift stage and carpets and, you know. But the only upside of that experience was they put me and then I suppose Eric in these like the presidential suites of the Caesar's Palace. So that was kind of neat. But other than that, it was just, not a fun audience to play for. So it's hard to, I think, I just feel.
Do you guys
like
look into playing
I don't know. I don't know where we'd play in Vegas. It feels like there's so much competition for everyone's eyeballs there that it just. I know there's like a whole scene of people that live in Vegas that don't go to the Strip and all that kind of stuff. But
right.
You know, it's also like it's a little out of the way when you're talking about routing a tour. It takes, you know, it's not on the way to anything else. But of course,
sense.
I don't know. It's just we didn't do a ton of dates on this tour because it's too much. It's just like you can end up being out on the road for months and months. There's so many different places to play, and we apologize we didn't hit every town and city. Of course, it's nothing personal, but there's a life I need to lead that doesn't involve sitting on in a van, you know?
Right. You got children.
That's right. So, it's not all about entertainment. Your life can't just be. You can't just be a monkey, a dancing monkey. All right.
I hear you.
All right, I gotta go, Walker.
Yeah, thanks,
Talk
Jim.
Talk to you later. Sorry, by the way, if I was a little grouchy last week on the show, Josh.
Yes, Tim.
I was just apologizing. Last week I was a little out of it. I was also a little stressed about the tech here at the office hours headquarters here. Stuff was not working, so I was a little distracted. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was a good show. I mean, I don't go back and listen and judge.
But, I just listened to it yesterday. It sounded good.
Okay, good. Well, I also want to thank a listener sent me a great tip on a piece of... a piece of hardware to make the experience so much better for everybody here. So I want to thank them. Let me give them a shout out at soon as I can draw up that message I received, and let you know that I do receive your message and I do appreciate your assistance. Where is that?
That was that. What was that? I remember
it. Find it. Aaron Nevins. Thank you, Aaron Nevins, for his recommendation. I just ordered that through Amazon, and we'll see if that makes the difference so we can keep the iPhone plugged in. Okay. Now, nice. How can I help you today, Josh?
Tim, I was on my way to work today, and I think I caught the back end of Sweet Emotion, the Aerosmith song. Yeah, and all I could hear was Decker, Empty Bottle.
Sweet emotion, sweet emotion.
Yeah, but it's the back end where it doesn't really sound like the rest of the song.
They're
kind of just soloing. With that part?
I'm going to bring it up and see if we can dial in what you're talking about here.
Bring it up around like 3 minutes and 30 seconds or so. That's where they're just kind of jamming.
Oh, and yeah. it sounds like Empty Bottle?
It sounds just like Empty Bottle to me, at least.
Sweet emotion. I can't find it on. Oh, here it is. All right. Whoa, baby, rock and roll. Yeah. This part?
I can't hear it, but yeah. I feel like that's like a faster Empty Bottle. What do you think?
Well,
maybe not note for note, but it just reminds me. Yeah, it's.
I'm not in any legal danger. I think that's that's the point here.
No, not at all.
Boy, that's like a handful. That's like one of a handful of like great Aerosmith songs, don't you think?
Yeah, that's probably like up there.
It's pretty high. All right. Well, thanks for the heads up on that, Josh.
Yeah, I just thought of you. That's about it, man.
I think about you all the time. I think about Josh. Nick. Hello, Nick. Nick's offline. Nick lost it. Max. Hello. Hello. Hi, Max.
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Oh, hi. Sorry, I can't hear you.
That's all right, buddy.
Sorry.
What? Well, how can I help you? Yes? Hello? Yes. What? Oh my God. Rager. Hello, Rager.
Oh, hey. Oh, wait, I have to mute the thing.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
What's up, Boots?
Actually, my name's Tiago. Sorry about the thing. And, hey, nice. I didn't expect to get in the call that fast. How are you?
Yes, I'm good. Where are you calling from, please?
Paris, France.
Oh, my God. Okay, let's talk, baby. I got nothing there. I got nothing.
Oh, what's going on in Paris, baby? Congratulations or whatever. How do you feel about your election? I think it was, I didn't follow it too closely. It seemed like you dodged a bullet with that nut over there, or maybe you're all for her. I don't know. Give me the update on that.
Oh, it's like a mixed bag, I guess. Both of them were pretty bad. I think she was probably worse, but he's like pretty bad also. So
what's wrong with him?
He's an ex-banker from Rothschild, and he's got no experience. He just appeared from nowhere, and he got a bunch of money. So no one knows where he got the money from.
Whoa.
So,
yeah. This is a globalist. This is another one of these globalists.
I think so, yeah.
Folks, we have to be careful. You know, there's these people, these reptiles out there who are actually coming into power now that we have to be careful about. Because I looked at this, and I've been telling you guys this for 22 years. You know, ever since I've been on the air, we've been tracking this, and now it's finally come to fruition. And it's, you know, it's frightening, folks. We are now at the precipice.
Yeah, they're preparing some crazy thing for us. They know what's up. They know what's up.
Capiche.
Probably. I'm actually going to the U.S. in July, kind of because I wanted to go to the tour.
Oh, good. Where are you gonna go? Which city are you gonna hit? New York?
DC? Probably Dallas, or Austin. Okay. Yeah, because I have a friend in Houston, so we're going to drive to Austin. I don't know. Apparently Texas is as big as France, so it's probably going to be really far. But that's fine, I guess.
It's going to be very hot there, by the way.
Yeah. I went to the US during the summer once, in Texas also. Yeah, it's pretty hot.
Right. There's quite a French influence in Paris, in Texas. You got your Beaumont, Texas. You got your Paris, Texas.
Paris,
of
Texas.
Of course. And your Austin, Texas. And your Dallas.
Really? I didn't know.
They're all French babies, baby.
I just knew about Paris. That I guess was obvious, but the other ones I didn't really know, I guess.
Yes.
I'm not that that cultured. What's going to be in the tour that was in the awesome show? Like the basics. Can you, I know it's probably secret or something, but what can you give me like that's going to be there that I don't know?
We've written this bit. I shouldn't even tell you about this, but we've got this routine going that we've been rehearsing it, and it's next level, in my opinion. I think it's right on the edge, which is where we love to be comedically. And it is, the name of the bit is 90 Minutes of Solitude. And mm-hmm. what it is a dark black stage, and we pass out blindfolds and earmuffs to everybody in the theater. And there's 90 minutes of that experience right away, pretty much.
Wow. That's
and
so...
It's next level. Like I said, it's next level. I mean, they're going to be talking and writing about it for years. It's so exciting. You know, I think hopefully a lot of people going to the show aren't listening because that kind of gives away a big part of the show. It's basically the show. But there's a couple other, there'll be a merch booth there, and we'll be showing some stuff on the cameras on the screen as well. But the big part of the big chunk of the show is the 90 Minutes of Solitude experience, which we're very excited about.
Yeah, I bring my pep and we'll get take a nap.
Okay. Well, no napping. There'll be ushers coming by to rouse anybody that looks like they're nodding off.
All right, I'll be careful. Do you know actually that's that thing that was actually something that happened in Paris, that someone actually made not a show, I don't know how to translate, but it was basically this, nothing on the stage for 100 minutes around that, and it was some kind of contemporary art thing. It's very French.
Thank you.
French people are very...
All right. Very, well, I'm sure they've... Every idea I can come up with, someone's done it before. I understand. I get it. All right. We'll see you in Dallas or wherever.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye.
Have a nice day.
Bye. Let's talk to this gentleman here, Mark. Mark! Hi.
Hey!
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Not much. Calling from Chicago.
My shutdown. By the way, we've got a third show in Chicago I'll tell you about. Is July 24th, I believe.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's at the Vic.
I saw you do stand-up when you came through a few years ago.
All right.
At the Hideout.
All right. Oh, that was a fun one, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, that was great. You kind of took a shot at Ricky Gervais a little bit.
Oh, yes.
Netflix show. I had a big laugh at that.
Yeah, I did a character I've not really done much since, named Shai Sherman.
No, I thought that was a great character. He took questions from the audience, all that.
Yeah, I did. I don't know. I just felt like it really rode the line, didn't it?
It did. It was great. It made
everyone feeling very uncomfortable. So some of the folks out there might have seen it in L.A. or Chicago. Otherwise, it's just a rare bit. Sometimes it's nice to have those rare bits out there that don't people just hear about and don't get to experience.
Well, I hope you're still developing that bit. Bring it back someday.
Maybe I will. Maybe I will in London. Tickets for the London show are on sale right now for Tim Heidecker and Neil Hamburger. That's at the Soho Theater. Look that up. A lot of people didn't even know that show was happening, but 2 weeks of stand-up shows happening in London, August 21st to the 2nd of September or something like that. Go on to SohoTheater.com and check it out.
Well, I don't have a passport, so I don't think I'm going to be able to make it.
How do you not have a passport? How old are you?
I'm 30 years old.
What are you doing, man? You gotta travel internationally. You gotta do some backpacking.
I've been all over the U.S., but I've not set foot outside of the country.
You're right up there on the Canadian border. You could at least go pay a visit up there to Toronto.
Yeah, Toronto. You recommend Toronto?
Toronto's a great city. It's a great international city. You've got great people there. It's a great comedy town. And it's a great, just a metropolitan. You've got a lot of good restaurants there. Very ethnically diverse. I have great love and appreciation for the Canadian people. But how can I help you, by the way?
I guess I had one question that I was going to ask. I was wondering if there is a moment in your memory where, outside of shooting stuff, where you had to hold back laughter and it only kind of increased your laughter and it was kind of maybe at an inappropriate time.
Oh, yeah. Plenty of those growing up. I think, you know, I went to Catholic school and I was an altar boy. So there was a lot of experience there where we were meant to be pious and quiet and serious. And something was going on. Somebody farted or some noise happened or some idea crept into my head and created a cascade. So many experiences. Peeing, sweet. You know, trying not to pee your pants. That's the whole game. That's the whole, that's the biggest challenge in life.
Yeah, I agree. So far, I'm doing well in that challenge.
Good. All right, thanks, Mark. I'll see you in Chicago.
Yeah, take it easy.
Bye. Hello, Nick. What up, bud?
This is my first time calling.
Oh, well, welcome aboard.
Oh, thank you. I'm in Austin, Texas.
Yes.
Folks,
I watched a little bit of Alex Jones yesterday. I just watched like about 30 minutes of his show.
Lord, that's how's he doing?
Unbelievable, man. He was calling for them to arrest Comey. James Comey. I'm glad he fired him. I'm glad he fired him. We had to arrest them all. If it was up to me, they'd all be in jail right now. You know, him, Hillary, Obama, Comey, they all should be thrown and throw away the key. It's about time somebody stepped up and took charge.
I'm just trying to figure out what he's doing after, you know, it was a big buzz, his divorce stuff.
Oh, my God. Wasn't that the greatest?
He used the Hollywood Hogan sex tape argument.
I mean,
that's what.
I mean, I don't feel it's not the best feeling in the world to relish somebody's misfortune that he's going through. But this is one of the premier bad boys out there. Bad guys, not bad boys. Bad guys who just, you can't write something more poetic than that. That first of all, these troll freaks, these, you know, alt-right types, they have this thing where they come at me, and I guess they come at other people.
No, I've
too.
Seen it. No, it's but bonkers.
But specifically, one of the things they go on about is how my wife left me.
I saw that on your Twitter. It was very confusing.
And how I'm, of course I'm a cuck, but that my wife left me and I'm paying alimony. And, you know,
short for a cuckold, right?
Yeah, which is not true. It's not true. But what's funny is that's really happening to their poster boys. To, you know, that's the reality of of Alex Jones, Mike Cernovich, and like those guys are. I mean, and also, I don't judge anybody for going through a divorce or having, you know, like that's not like a sign of any kind of weakness or disability or anything. It's like, it just, you know, some things don't work. It's just such a weird, strange insult to be hurling around, which is easily proven to be not true. And it's not something that gets, it's not something that gets me, that really hurts me or anything. It's just fascinating to me.
We're going through that bathroom bill stuff as well. Right now, and I have a friend, trans woman, very smart person, and she spoke at one of the hearings at the Capitol, and her 2 minutes she allotted entirely to just the concept of projection, because all these people are like saying, what are they getting up to in the bathroom? Like, well, what are you getting up to in the bathroom?
Right, where's your head at?
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, it's a wild world out there, man. It's just every day there's something wild. You can't believe it. I saw in the some quote today from Trump talking about how he coined the phrase prime the pump. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. I saw something about him.
Well, he said he was talking about
economics.
He was talking about the economy, and I guess the idea of, you know, priming the pump, meaning, you know, government, stimulating the economy,
like a lawnmower,
right? And in the interview, he said something like, the term prime the pump, and the person's like, yeah, I'm like, yeah, I came up with that.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah,
I was like, well, that's deranged, man. I just would love to hear the argument here's the argument I propose. I would want to accept. I would love to argue, or I'd love to debate. The argument you have to bring to me is Donald Trump is not deranged.
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead. I want to hear what your evidence for that is.
That he's not? I can't do that.
I'm not you. I'm asking the audience. I'm asking somebody out there. Bring that to me.
Oh,
bring
sure,
me evidence
sure, sure.
that he is not deranged. Can't do it.
Well, hey, can I switch gears and
yes,
just say
please,
one
please,
thing real
please,
quick?
Please, please,
I just want to say how much I love the theme music, I know it's like open source or public library and you spliced the thing.
Isn't it
It's
great?
Fantastic. It hits
it's
that
so
aesthetic
wonderful.
Perfectly.
It is so great. And I'm so blessed because I am gifted with the with great taste. No, I'm gifted with...
No, I was just... I wanted to say it sounds like, you know, it reminds me of the Oliver Stone movie Talk Radio.
Oh, okay.
You know, those days of...
Yeah.
The days of those call-in shows. I think it just really hits that... That mark.
Well,
very
I have
well.
This we have this music library here that we get to draw from, thanks to our, you know, I don't know, we just pay for it and we get all this. I mean, all the music in Decker, so much awesome show music, so much. Check it out. Oh, excuse me. I just burped and something came up.
Where do you think all those musicians are that just did that free music?
I mean, maybe they're passed on.
Yeah. Or they're just computers. They're just like weird old computers.
Maybe.
A lot of samples.
All right, anyway. Nick, I'm going to keep taking calls, but thanks so much. Bye.
Thanks, Tim.
Let's see what Tim. We got. It's not Tim Tuesday, but I'll take a call from Tim Roof.
Hey.
Hello, Tim. How are you?
Good. How are you, Tim?
Good. What's going on, Tim?
I'm just working from home today. You know me.
I know it. I know it. I know how it goes.
I was wondering, have you talked to Nick Nolte at all, or is he around today? I've been wondering about him.
I can't do it, man. I told you, I just almost choked up a half a cup of coffee here. Something in me is telling me not to go pushing it with the.
Wouldn't that help?
Maybe.
Wouldn't that help?
We'll see. Maybe he'll manifest himself later in the show. It's good. Good.
Okay.
Excuse for you to keep listening.
Okay, absolutely. I need a little multi today, I think.
Okay. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
Bye. Let's take Aaron. Aaron, my boy, Aaron.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Hey, Tim.
Hi, buddy.
It's great to talk to you again. I haven't talked to you in a long time. I've only been able to call through once before, but I just had a quick comment and then two very quick questions, if that's okay with you.
Go for it.
Okay, cool. My comment is just that I think from someone like me who's followed your career ever since Tom Goes to the Mayor all the way through all your funny side projects, Tim's Kitchen Tips, everything, I honestly think that the On Cinema Decker universe is something you should be really proud of because it gets all of us in the community involved and we kind of feel like we belong to it and we get to poke fun on Twitter.
Thank you.
So I just think it's awesome. Just
I want
totally
to thank
awesome.
All you guys, too, for being a part of it, for sticking with it, for contributing and all your different comments. I mean, I'm there looking at, believe me, I see it all.
That's so cool. Yeah, we have
enjoy it
Facebook
so
groups and Discord servers and everything where we discuss it and people are in character. And it's just fun as hell, man. So,
it's so fun. And it's
yeah,
so fun.
I just,
it encourages us to keep doing it. So the more the more you guys stay involved, the more we're energized to do it. And, you know, the new season of Decker, which comes out June
4th.
Is so good. It's so fun to make. I think it's just a blast to put together from beginning to end, and everybody involved has so much fun doing it. There's new surprises. We've it's stepped. I think like if last time we put 10% more energy or 10% more whatever production resources into the show to make the first season of Unclassified that aired last year. This will be just another 10% on top of that. So we've, it continues to double down on the mythology or the universe of the On Cinema world. It's not trying to play to anybody except ourselves and you guys and,
absolutely.
But at the same time, I do think there's stuff that's relatively broadly funny about it, I think. So I think it's not.
Heck yeah.
It doesn't close anybody off if they don't want to be. But like somebody noted, you'll see in this new season, there's the black glove is all over the place. And it's like, if you don't know the On Cinema world, you're just like, well, what's the deal with that guy's black glove? But you know it's
so awesome.
Thank you.
I just had two quick questions also, if I could.
Please.
My first one is just, I think it's awesome how you guys have incorporated Joe Estevez. I think he's been one of the best finds you've ever gotten. He's so talented and he fits so well in with what you do. On the third On Cinema Oscar special, you guys presented him with a Lifetime Achievement Award, which I thought was sweet as hell. Did he have a chance to keep that?
I think it was too big for him to keep. I think we've...
Oh, okay.
I think he politely said, why don't you guys hang on to this or dismantle it?
Oh, okay.
I don't think he was upset that it didn't. I think he had the option to keep it.
Right on. Said, okay. I thought that was really sweet of you guys to do that for him. Oh. And then my only other question, and I haven't been listening to the show today, so I don't know if you've addressed it yet. I was curious if we were going to get more details on the Patreon type thing where we can start donating and being, you know, contributing even more to the On Cinema stuff. So
I'm shooting to make a big announcement about that next week.
Okay.
We're getting all our ducks in a row. So stand by for that. There'll be I hope to announce that next week at some point.
Okay. Awesome, Tim. Well, I'll let you go. Thanks, man. We love you a lot.
You. Thank you. All right. Take care. Let's take to Donald Jensen.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Don.
This is my first time listening to the show live. I'm very excited.
Oh, great. Well, welcome to the family. Welcome to the community. Everyone here is loved and appreciated.
Thank you. Thank you. Don't really have a question coming in. Just wanted to say I'm looking forward to seeing you in Atlanta.
Oh, beautiful.
And I'm loving the podcast.
Thanks so much. All right, Donald. Take care.
All right, baby.
Bye-bye. Danny Lowe.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Pretty good for a Thursday. Why don't you give me the your location?
Okay, I'm in Ottawa, Canada.
Beautiful. I was just saying such nice things about the Canadian people. And
oh, yeah.
Tell me how I can help today.
Well, I had a question. I don't know if you've been asked about Christopher Morris's stuff, but. How much of an influence was Christopher Morris for you?
I would say an influence. I watched years and years ago, my friend, my wonderful friend living in New York to this day, name of Chris, was really a big comedy fan and had spent time in London and had come back with lots of tapes. And one of the tapes he had was The Day Today.
Okay.
And we went through all of that and just fell in love with The Day Today. And then he also had Brass Eye and loved that and Jam and all great stuff. I think when we were doing Awesome Show early, we were looking at some of that stuff as like interesting ways of doing kind of dark comedy, and you know, it's something we referenced quite a bit in early discussions about our work.
Oh, nice. Another question. I don't know. Do you take questions on like MDE and that whole situation?
I'll take any question you want to bring at me. You know, we could be in a James Clapper situation here.
Did you like watch any of Million Dollar Extreme? Like, did you actually see it at all?
Not much.
Okay. Because, all right, well, it's a good show.
Okay.
That's about that.
Well, there's lots of good shows we can talk about. Seinfeld.
Yeah, Seinfeld's a classic. Which one do you like more, Friends or Seinfeld?
The Munsters.
The Munsters. I don't know that one.
Nah. You don't know the Munsters?
Nope.
Grandpa?
Nope.
Come on, man.
I'm Googling it right now.
You don't know the Munsters. And you've got opinions on whether shows are good or bad.
It looks like some kind of monster, like Frankenstein type thing.
Sure. Yeah, it's a family of monsters, essentially, who live together and have to blend in with the local community.
Is it so? It's like Adam's Family.
It's an Adam's Family ripoff, essentially.
Okay, so we just copy. All right,
there you go.
Well, I've seen Adam's Family, so I'm just gonna forget about the Munsters.
Munsters might be, in my opinion, better than the Adam's Family.
Well, I don't know.
Well, you of course you don't know because you haven't watched it.
No, but I don't know. It's the Adam's Family. It's the Adam's Family now.
The Adam's Family sucks. All right. Watch all of the Munsters and get back to me.
Oh.
All right?
Oh, okay.
Take care, Danny. Have a great night. Is it Danny Lowe?
It's Danilo.
Danilo. Where are you calling from, by the way?
Canada.
Ottawa. Oh, right. You're right. Canada. Got
Come on, man.
All right. Take care. Have a good one.
Okay, bye.
The dead of the Munsters. Dracon.
Oh, hi, Tim. It's Adam from the Gettysburg. It's the second time calling you.
Oh, yeah. It's good to hear from you again. How can I help you today?
Well, I just want to let you know, I took up your advice on going out and looking for love. And I tried dating online. It didn't really work out. But I wanted to go somewhere where I could easily get some, you know, tail, get some, you know, pussy. And so I went to a cat cafe. And unfortunately...
Okay, that's my first hang up. Mince!
Yes?
Hello, how are you?
This is Mince.
Mince?
Tim?
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, Tim. It's kind of like, hey, Jude. No, I'm just joking. Hey. How's your morning?
It's good. I'm just batting them away today. Batting them away.
You got to swat them with those fly swatters while they're on.
Well, how can I help you?
I'm just walking into work, and I saw that you were doing one of these, and I like calling in because you're a good guy.
Well, where are you working?
I am a scienceman.
Yeah. What you sciencing up today?
I'm, I write these little codes that do these little simulations of particles and stuff.
Why?
Do you want to know about something kind of cool? I won't waste your time for too long.
Go ahead.
We're looking for a new phase of matter. Can you believe it?
A new phase of matter.
Yeah.
So in other words, we got our solids, we got our liquids, we got our gases.
That's right.
And you're looking for somewhere, something in between?
Yeah, that's right. It's in between the first two, you said.
Between solids and liquids?
That's right. It's called the super solid.
Whoa.
And it's part liquid, part solid.
I wouldn't say that would be super solid. I think your super solid would be on the other side. It would be sort of more than solid.
Weirdly enough, it's not.
I got to go in there to that lab and start changing things up because you guys do not know how to use the English language.
I tell you
what.
You got to get in here and start slapping some people around. I think that's what we need.
Super solid is the best solid there is. It's nothing more solid. There's no even chance of liquid in there. That's what that should be.
You're goddamn right.
So we got to fix this. I would say I'll give you a new name for this. It's here it is. It's easy. Gel. Just gel.
You know what?
It's just gel you guys are looking for. It's just gel.
I'm going to tell him that.
It's not solid. It's not liquid. You guys, we figured it out. It's in every Rite Aid. It's in every CVS. It's sometimes... it's in my hair. It's everywhere. It's in my toothpaste. It's gel.
It's in eggs.
Of course it's in eggs.
All right.
All right. Tell them that, and then you guys can take the rest of the week off, figure out something else to do with science.
I love you.
Love you. Bye, Mint. Let's talk to Thomas. Hello, Thomas.
Hello. Hey, how are you, Tim?
Good. How are you? What's up?
Well, I was wondering, actually, how you met Mark Brooks and if you had seen his Kay Strauss videos before you met him.
Had seen them, yes. That's he came in to have a meeting about us doing something with him, and we were sent those videos, which we loved, laughed hysterically, and came in with his manager and had a chat about us producing something for him or helping him get a show, and that's how we met. But then he was new to town, and I said, "Hey, let's get a coffee or something. Let's get a drink," and hit it off pretty nice, and have become good friends.
Very nice. Yeah, I was showing some friends the Yo-Yo Guys videos this past weekend, and it's awesome to see kind of how he's made it and all the shows he's in and everything.
It's
now.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right. Thanks so much, Thomas. Take care.
Thank you, Tim.
Hello, Max.
Oh, hi, Tim.
What's up?
I don't think I can hear you. I just wanted to apologize for earlier.
I panicked and I closed the window.
Oh, no worries.
Quick question. What are some of your favorite books and or favorite authors, if you have any?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm going to hang up now because okay. I can't hear you.
Yeah, that's a boring question for me. I think, you know, Jim Davis, creator of Garfield, has to be at the top of my list. Nickelodeon Theater. Who's this again?
Hey, it's Pedro again.
Hey.
I'm using my work account again.
No worries.
Yeah, how you doing today?
Pretty good. How can I help you today?
Well, I'm having some kind of stressful relationship stuff I was hoping to talk to you about. So right now, and also like I just had a lot of Indian food, so I'm like, I don't know if this is affecting my emotional stability or not, but my girlfriend and I, we've had just this last weekend a pretty rough conversation about kind of taking a break, right? And the whole concept of taking a break seems like such a strange amorphous thing,
right.
And but the thing, the central, the nucleus of it is that we are having an issue in terms of, can you love someone and still like have capacity in your heart to love other people, right? And you know, is the all-encompassing aspect of love, is that required? And I don't know if that's like true or not.
Who's bringing that up?
Well, I guess I'm the dirt bag here, and I kind of feel like that, you know. I kind of feel like a crappy person, but like when I look at her and when I interact with her, I feel this deep, beautiful love, and maybe it's just because I'm young and I still like feel like I have a lot more experiencing to do, but like I also, you know, I have feelings for other people sometimes that, you know, I don't know how to, you know, kind of rectify that.
Have you pursued those feelings with other people?
I've been honest with her about my interest in that, you know, but I haven't.
I see.
I've been entirely, you know, faithful to her and everything. We've been dating for 2 years, and
But she's not into it. She says, listen, it's me and me alone. And if you step out, then that's something I can't handle.
Well, yeah. But we pinned it down to this guttural feeling, right? Of if I'm imagining you with someone else, like that's a purely emotional pain, right?
Right.
But the legit, like the logical sides of things is, kind of like something that we're kind of in agreement on, which is that, you know, we want to make sure that we understand who we are and what we want. So that brings me, I guess, to my question, which is,
I love that you're having this phone call on the work account, by the way, but go ahead.
this is my lunch break. So, yeah, half of it is devoted to Indian food and half of it is this. This is a good use of time, I think. But, the question is true love, does it have to be for one person, or, you know, I mean, I don't know. Have you ever thought about that, or is that a, you know,
I mean, listen, there's all kinds of love, and you can love different people for different reasons, you know, levels of that. I have love for all kinds of people, but, you know, I think it's destabilizing to if you're in a relationship, whether it's a, you know, a serious girlfriend or a wife or something, where I think it's, you know, it's destabilizing to reach outside those bounds. Of course, there's carnal feeling, you know, there's just all kinds of feelings you can have for all kinds of people that, you know, come and go in your brain that you can, you know, I think pretty easily or reasonably filter out and deal with. And, you know, it makes it complicated. It makes it uncomfortable for one of the people or both the people. And, you know, it should be an easy call for you or to say the pros outweigh the cons, I suppose, with in terms of just going wherever I want to go in terms of other, you know, sexual romantic relationships, that it's ultimately more satisfying and more enjoyable to have something that's respected, that's not always easy, but that is gives longer lasting value and longer lasting happiness. But that might not work for you, and it might not work for this particular relationship. And
part of me really sometimes feels like I just want to put my dingus in a wheat thresher. I just want to move on from this, this corporal existence, and I just want to transcend into like a cloud of gas that has no sexual thoughts and just see what I would be, you know? Like, how embedded am I in this prison of
prison of desire?
Yeah,
I am sweaty thinking about it. Prison of desire.
Well, that's the Indian food for me.
Well, good luck to you. I think you are. How old are you?
I'm 24.
Yeah, you'll burn through this, man. This girl doesn't sound like the one for you right now. Maybe you ain't ready to be in that kind of committed relationship. I think that's fair to not expect you to just be committed in that way. And I think you should explore. Maybe time off should be the way to go.
Okay, thank you, man. Thank you. Also, I want to say it's really wonderful that you're very genuine on this podcast, and you have a great big heart, and I appreciate you having this like avenue for people to speak to you. I think that's fantastic.
Oh, you're welcome. Happy to do it. Thank you very much. Talk to you later. Good luck with everything, my friend.
Take care, man.
All right. That was heavy stuff. Heavy stuff. Life is complicated, Seamus.
You're very genuine.
Hey, Tim.
Hi, Seamus. How are you, baby?
Oh, come on, man. You got to do better. It's Seamus.
Seamus. I'm calling you Seamus. I don't give a shit.
Okay. I'll take it. I called him once before, but it's been about a year. I was calling right around when In Glendale was being released, and it's coming up on a year on that.
You're right. It is. This has been about a year of doing office hours. I can't believe it.
Yeah, pretty crazy. It's been a great year.
I started doing it because I thought, listen, I don't know how I'm supposed to promote this record, and I had this technology in front of me that was able to broadcast to my audience, and I said, well, I'll just get on the air here on this Facebook Live and just start talking to people and telling people about the record, and I don't know how much good it did, but it certainly became a place for me to go out here and talk and be and have fun talking to you guys.
I haven't had internet for a year, so I've been listening to the podcast, but I'm finally back at it. But I just wanted to kind of get in on the In Glendale real quick, if you don't mind talking about it. I just wanted to mention that I heard a lot of Wilburys in it, and I just liked. I mean, it's so well arranged and just fun. And I just wanted to know if you had a Wilburys lineup, if you were one of them, or if you wanted to manage. Who would be your Wilburys today?
Who would be the modern day Wilburys? Well, I'd have to stick with my musical, the people I'm closest with, I guess, when it comes to that. You know, it's got to be natural. It's got to feel kind of like a natural thing. So I'd have to start with Rado from Foxygen. He's like, I do a lot of stuff with him. And I think he's just a supremely talented musician. I'd throw in my Father John Misty. You know, this is just off the top of my head. The three of us.
You're pretty set.
Pretty set right there for three. Well, who else should I put in there? I'll take recommendations if you have any.
Let's do Dylan.
Papa D back in? He's in this new verge?
I think so. You know, that's what's going to be the real selling point here.
Well, he's welcome. He's welcome to be a part of it. So it's me, Bob Dylan, Jonathan Rado, Father John Misty, and how about Devendra Barnhart? Devendra Barnhart.
There you go.
Bombhart.
Yeah, whatever. One of those three.
Yeah. Dave Navarro.
Okay, yeah. And Dave Grohl, maybe.
Dave Grohl. Yeah, I'll get working on that.
Cool. Well, I look forward to it. It sounds like you're pretty set.
Thanks.
All right, then.
Bye.
Thanks for the call.
Yep. This episode of the Tim Heidecker's Office Hour podcast is brought to you by Fulton and Rourke. Fulton & Rourke is a men's fragrance and grooming company that specializes in solid colognes, shave, and shower products, all designed to make getting ready easier and more enjoyable. Their travel-friendly wax-based colognes go anywhere. Plus, there's nothing to break or spill. And, of course, they all smell fantastic. I smell like a beautiful bouquet wearing this cologne. Fulton & Rourke's bar soap is designed to exfoliate the skin with or without a washcloth. And JQ Magazine just named their shave cream the very best on the market today. Try it for yourself.
Try it more.
Yourself at FultonAndRourke.com and save 15% off your purchases by using the code FERAL at checkout. All right, we're working on that. Nelson? Mr. Nelson? Oh, Nelson's calling back. Nelson? Hello? I hear you.
This is Tim Heidecker.
Yes, sir.
Tim, you're real cute. You're a real cute guy. You got all the great lines, but I think you're aspiring to be the next Colbert.
Next
and,
who?
I think... The next Colbert, and I think you ought to do him one better by challenging me to a debate.
All right, I'll debate you right now. What you got?
That's all I got. I want to do this in the proper setting.
Well, what's the topic going to be?
Globalism.
Globalism. All right. Well, listen, man, you're for or against globalism?
I'm absolutely against globalism. I'm the tip of the spear.
I'm against globalism too. So we got to agree on that there.
Okay, I guess we don't need to have a debate. I think we've settled it right here.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Come at me like that. Go get shut down. Nat, go. Hello. Hello. Who there? Who this? Well, Nat Go been calling all morning. I seen it all morning, and he just hung up. Robert Tingle calling again.
Hey, you all right?
Yeah. What's up, man? What's up? What's going on?
Calling from sunny England, actually, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah. Have you got tickets to the show in August?
Yep. Seeing you in Manchester.
Oh, beautiful, man.
Well, I was going to go to London, but it's expensive on the train now.
Oh,
it costs a lot.
Trying to keep the people out of the big city, I see.
Yeah, well, you got all your real people up north, you know, not the big fat cats down south.
Yeah. All right, then. How can I help you?
Well, I've got a question. I listened to a podcast, and it's full of content creators, and there's a thing that they were discussing where they said that they hate it when people come up to them and they like, recognize them for something that they're not really proud of. Like, they did something, like, say, like, 10 years back, and then they're not really, like they kind of cringe about it when they look back on it. I was wondering if you have anything that's like that, where people go, oh, you're Tim Heidecker, I know you for such and such thing, and you're like, oh, God, why do they have to...
Not really. I mean, I do think, you know, there's certain things of ours that I don't consider as great as some people do, but then they, you know, but that's their experience with it. It's nothing I can control. So I'm happy to have any kind of, acknowledgement of any of the work we've done. And, you know, if someone says I loved you in some show that I just did, it like in an acting job for or something, it's I can't say too much about it, because it was, you know, someone said, oh, I loved you on Workaholics. I just have to say, oh, well, thank you very much. But I don't have I didn't have a lot invested in that for my own. I'd rather somebody say, hey, I loved you in that last episode of On Cinema. You know, that's something that Bedtime Stories, man, that show just blew me away. That's where, you know, that's like, well, that's my work. That's what I put, that's what I did, that's what I do.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, I got to take a call now. I got to take Katie Jane Harris. Hello, Katie Jane.
Hello. How are you, Tim?
I'm all right. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from London.
Nice. Oh, great. That's terrific. I've just spoken to a man from Manchester.
Oh, okay. Yeah. From Manchester.
Where you? What's your deal? What are you coming to a show in August?
Oh, of course, yeah. Oh,
great. And how can I help you today?
So yeah, I'm at a bit of a weird point in, I'm teaching at the moment, but you know, but I want to get into comedy, and I've been writing a lot of scripts, and I guess I'm just at a point where I don't really know what to do next, you know?
Well, I don't know either. Can you mute the stream?
Can I? Oh yeah, one moment, sorry.
Because we're hearing a bit of slapback. let me transition out of my near perfect English accent. So
okay, yeah, near perfect. Yeah,
it's a bit distracting for you, I imagine. Well, what are these scripts? Are they sketches or sitcoms? Or?
Sitcom, yeah, a sitcom.
Well, I don't know that world over there. I don't know the ins and. I only know a few people. I don't really know what you're supposed to do. You go work for one of these Channel 4, I guess, or yeah. I've heard it's very difficult over there. There's not a lot of avenues for it.
Definitely. Yeah, it's difficult to get into even just get an internship. You know?
Yeah.
But is it very often that like people write scripts and then are able to send them out to people and something comes of it, or is that?
No, I don't think that happens anymore. I don't know. I mean, what happens is a lot of times people get sort of pseudo famous on Twitter or online somewhere, known for their wit or their observations, and they get kind of discovered that way. Or if you make, do you have the capacity or the means to make something that you could put up online?
Possibly, but it would be very poor quality.
Well, part of the idea is coming up with an idea that works for with the resources you have. So if you kind of design the idea to work with an iPhone and a couple of not a lot of people and stuff, and just start breaking through that way. That's one idea.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And then if people like it, you can go, but there's more. I have these beautiful scripts that I've worked so hard on.
Yeah,
so you just got to keep plugging away and do your research, find out people who are in the business there, find somebody and send them stuff, introduce yourself if they're ever speaking somewhere. You got to be proactive. You got to sort of, without being creepy or rude, manage yourself in a professional way and try to, if there's somebody who you really love, like, are you like a Sharon, Horgan fan or
great.
So somebody like her, for example, I don't know about what, I don't know how she interacts with people like you, but if you say, listen, I'm a big fan, I've written something, can you take a look at it? That's a certainly a way to, that's certainly not there's a, you know, can't hurt.
Definitely.
If there's people on a lower level than her that are on television there or doing theater or doing sketches somewhere, you got to kind of like know the field a little bit and then show your best stuff and hope for the best. Keep plugging away.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Tim.
You're welcome.
I will do that.
Good luck, Katie.
Thank you.
See you in London. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Jim. Hello, Jim. Is Jim there?
Hello.
Hi, Jim.
Yes, speaking.
How can I help you today, Jim?
Hey, big fan, second time caller. Just wanted to, actually, I've got one mini question and one other question. I might have you stumped on this one. I've got a pretty good one for you.
All right, I'm always looking to get stumped.
In the Awesome Show, the skit where you did that prank call about the ukulele falling off the shelf, nails the laptop. In that skit, there's like an image of some Cinco products like turd and booger and stuff. And there's one that was never aired, and I always questioned like what that one did. It was a horse and a boar, and it was called a whore. And it had a horse with like wheels for legs and an antenna coming out of its butt. And it had like a remote control, but it had the head of a boar. And I was just curious what that was supposed to do.
I really don't remember. I think it's probably an idea that never got off its feet, and it was written down somewhere and got just used by the art department to fill in something. And we never made a commercial for it that I can remember. And I think it might have died on the vine there. And that's all I can tell you about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, because, I mean, Hugh, like, I love those, like, kind of the combining those two things, like Booger and Turd and stuff. Those crack me up. And, like, you know, the hamster and ham and all, yes, that stuff, that kills me. Another question, too, is I don't know how the hell you guys did it. How did you guys get Peter Cetera to do that little dancing, man?
You know, you just put in the calls. You just call the manager, call the agent, and pitch in the idea and just work with their schedule. And, you know, he was game for it. And that was just, we got lucky. I don't know. We got so lucky with so many great people. Richard Marx as well. And, you know, I think generally you find, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, generally you find people in this business of ours are pretty cool and they're pretty nice and they like to do fun stuff. So if you present them with an idea that's not, you know, hey, we want you to stick a baseball bat in your asshole at the Sizzler while people throws gravy at you. You know, if it's like, here's this funny idea, Ted Danson's in it, and you sing this song, it's kind of a parody of your of a Chicago song, or, you know, and you know, why not? Why wouldn't somebody want to do that? It's fun. It's fun to do stuff. So I hope I'm that way, if I should be so lucky in my later years to be still relevant in some way where people want to exploit me for their comedy and show up and say, hey, we do something for an hour and then go back to my life. And so that's that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that skit too with Ted Danson. That's really funny, and I just thought it worked well, like having the two, like the Thank little you. Dancing man and then having the
we
little
love
dance
it all.
Man.
We love it all, and Jim.
And then the one part that kills me that I feel like people don't notice is that African American guy on there. There's like that same clip of him like looking at the camera like six times. They just keep playing it, and I love that.
Well, that's what's his name from Star Trek. That's
The Worf from the Star Trek.
No. The blind guy who is from Reading Rainbow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What's his name? I'm blanking on it. Somebody on the boards will remind me. I'm bad with names. All right. Thanks, Jim. Rebecca.
Hi.
Hi. What's the name of the guy from?
Hello.
What's the guy from Star Trek with the blind guy who is Reading Rainbow? You don't know.
LeVar Burton.
LeVar Burton. Yes.
Yeah.
I sat next to him on a plane a few months ago, and we had a nice chat. He was had fond memories of our little shoot together. So, anything I can help you with today?
Yeah, I'm a drug counselor, uh-oh, right? And I work with a lot of ghetto dudes.
Okay.
People on probation. So I would like your insight as to how to deal with people that don't want to be told what to do.
I'm trying to think. I don't know what you do with that. It's hard. It's frustrating. Sometimes people have to be punished for not obeying the rules, correct?
I guess that's where we're at as a society.
We cannot continue to kowtow to the special interests and baby nanny state and baby people and all that stuff. I don't know. What's your experience? You tell us. You're the ones. You're on the ground. You're in the field. You're making it happen every day.
I don't know, man. It fills me with a daily existential crisis, you know?
Well, I mean, there's something happening. Sorry to interrupt you, but with drugs, as I'm sure you know, there's a lot of people simply aren't in control of their capacity to make decisions.
Right.
Right? And that's a chemical reaction in the brain that is caused by these drugs that we have to get off the streets. So I'm somewhat sympathetic to people that are having a hard time quitting or doing the right thing. I mean, it can't be easy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, and especially given their life circumstances, it's like, well, if you want to go drink, who the fuck am I to tell you not to?
Right. Yeah, I mean, listen, we have a, there's people, there's a, the poor in this country have very little options for happiness.
Exactly.
And there's not a lot of choices. There's not a lot of opportunity. You know, I was listening to this podcast about the gin, crisis or whatever in England in like the 16 or 7 or, you know, in the 1800s. I don't know when it was. It was a long time ago. It was hundreds of years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a long story, but gin became introduced in the country because of some war with France, and they weren't bringing wine in, and gin came in, and the gin craze was what it was called, and it was a really significant problem. But before it was a big problem, you know, you had the government, the queen or the king or whatever, saying to the people, you know, to drink gin to get you through your day.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
right.
And it was, like, medicinal, and it was considered, like, the first thing a mother does when she wakes up is have a little nip, and, you know, and people were encouraged to drink throughout the day, partly just to kind of get through their miserable existence, because life was so fucking shitty.
Yeah.
And so I feel for people that are living in an environment that's not, you know, it doesn't feel safe, it doesn't feel relaxing, or doesn't, you know, is doesn't have a lot of good options for them. And I can see getting into a place where you just want to get disappear, you just want to forget about it, you know, disappear.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the answer to that is. It's
well, I appreciate hearing your insight on it.
Well, I thank you for doing all that work, that hard work with these people that need your help.
Yeah, well, and hey, you also pranked my dad, and he is just too afraid of getting fired. So I also.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a secret. We won't talk about that.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Bye.
Tell your dad we love him. Bye. Let's see. Nat Go tried to call again. Nat, are you there? Again? Yes, hello.
Hello, Tim.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. I am calling to say that I've been on Twitter and I've been sticking up for you. I got your back.
Thank you. How's that been going for you?
It's pretty crazy to see some of the stuff people will say. And I totally get where you're coming from, just being like baffled by the things people come up with. You know.
Well, what do you think? What do you think the answer is?
I mean, I feel like if I were you, I would probably be handling it the same way you are, and by just laughing at it, and you know.
Yeah.
Exploiting it, just saying exactly what they say, because it's pretty funny. But also, I wanted to ask you, since people keep asking you some life advice on this show.
Yeah.
Thought I'd follow up on that theme. So I'm having a baby, and I know.
Oh, congratulations!
Thanks. And I just don't know. I've never had a baby, so I don't know.
What to expect?
What to do?
Oh my goodness! Well, I mean, are you in a relationship with the person you're having the baby with?
Yeah.
Okay. How old are you?
I'm 18.
Oh my goodness. That's so young, sweetheart.
I know, it's pretty wild.
Was it not a choice then? It was an accident?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Well, you know, listen, I mean, biologically, this is the age that is very healthy for you to have a baby. So there's that going for you. I think your body's in the position for that to go very smoothly, I think. I'm not a doctor, and I think you should be. Hopefully, you have access to good medical care.
Yeah, hopefully.
Well, what's your situation? Does the boy you have this that you're with have a job, or who's helping you out?
Yeah, he's got a job and everything, and everything's going good. I was just saying that because Trump Care is stressing me out.
Well, how does that? How would that affect you? Just because, what does he get insurance through his work?
No, I just don't know what's gonna do for the hospital stuff and the baby stuff. Like, if the baby gets sick later on.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, it's troubling times. Listen, why are we putting ourselves through this stress? We all have to deal with this kind of stuff. And I don't want to sound like Jimmy Kimmel here, but maybe I do want to sound like him. Why are we putting our country, our fellow citizens through all this worry and fear that they're going to be ruined because they have something that happens to everybody else at some point in their lives? You're going to have an experience where somebody you know is going to be dealing with some kind of medical situation. Now, I just want to, that to be something I don't worry about. And, right. It seems like a small price to pay. Everybody that can chips in, and there's certainly plenty of people with more than enough means to chip back in to make it something where there is a baseline, fund, for, treatment and care of, medical issues.
Yeah.
Now, what is so fucking hard about that for people to wrap their brains around?
It almost seems like some sort of twisted population control attempt.
It might be. I don't know. I mean, it's what it is we live in a country where it's very hard to create emotional bonds for our fellow citizens because we are not the same. We are not all Frenchmen. We are not all, come from the same ethnic background. So it is very hard. They've tried very hard, and the country's tried very hard to create a sort of false identity for what an American is and what American pride is. And it's a very thin veneer. It doesn't really reach through several generations. It's not like we're all Croatians,
Yeah.
And the result of that is it's very hard for somebody in Youngstown, Ohio, to give a shit about what happens to anybody outside of his family. The capacity for empathy is very it's difficult to achieve that. So maybe, I don't know, maybe that's the idea of smaller local funding through states or whatever, but the money should come. We should all chip in, and it just doesn't seem like you'd need that much considering about how much money there is. That's
right.
Why I suggested, you have you legalize marijuana, you tax that. You make it so every dollar over $1 billion you have has a different tax to it that goes to, there's ways to do it where you probably wouldn't even notice. If you're a fucking billionaire, you got more billions, $6 billion sitting in a bank. You're going to notice when you got 5.9?
No.
Come on now. So I just think that is so out of whack, and we could figure it out if we wanted to, and we're the richest, greatest country in the world. We don't act like it.
Yep.
So anyhow, that's my spiel on that, and no one's listening, so who cares? But I think, listen, you're going to be all right. Listen, if it turns out that our national health care policy is GoFundMe.com,
yeah.
Then that's how it's going to be, But, and maybe somebody with the billionaires can say, all right, well, I've got my own GoFundMe. Mark Zuckerberg should step up and go, I'm starting a website called Take My Money If You Need It.
Yeah.
And you submit your forms to him. And those fuckers should get together and form some kind of super fund.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Because my house is burning down. I don't care about no choice, about having choice with my fire protecting providers. I want someone to come down and spray water on it. And I'll pay taxes to make sure that happens.
Woo!
Capooch?
Capish.
Let's just grow up, everybody. Everybody grow up. Understand that this is civilization we're living in. You want to have your little your bakery, and you don't want anybody telling you who to sell it to. This is my business. I do not want the government telling me that I have to sell my cakes to some faggot. Okay. Well, then that's fine. But listen, do me a favor. Don't use the electrical grid that my tax dollars paid for. Don't access the water that this country has provided for you cleanly. Don't use the currency that we regulate. Okay. This is a civilization of people that have decided how to live together. Y'all can make your choices on what color umbrella you pick for the backyard. No one's telling you that we all have to have red umbrellas. You got plenty of options to make choices. Okay?
Amen.
But as far as babies go, it's all so good. It's so natural. It's so wonderful. And you're going to love your baby so much. And, you know, I say get through those first 3 months. The only thing you got to do in those first 3 months is keep that baby living. Keep that baby alive. Feed it. Be with it. Let it sleep. And then, you know, you'll figure it out. You got some good parents?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you'll be all right. I ain't worried about you. I want to name that baby for you, though.
Okay, what is it?
Is it a boy or a girl?
We don't know.
You're not going to find out?
Well, I'm not. I haven't found out yet, but I'm going to eventually.
If it's a boy, Scott.
Okay.
S-K-A-U-T, Scott.
All right.
If it's a girl, give it away. You do not want a girl in your house. You got to get boys. They can tend the field.
Yep. Yep. Right.
I'm just kidding you. I wish you the best. You let me know how it goes. When's the due date?
November 24th.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there could end up right there on Thanksgiving. Thank God.
Yep. Praise the Lord. Oh,
praise the Lord. All right. Praise the Lord to you. Take care.
All right. Have a blessed day.
Bless you. I wrote this. Speaking of those fuckers who write me, should I keep doing this accent? I wrote this song, and I've not put it out because I just felt like I'm not proud of the chorus because it was just it's a cheap shot. But I'll play what I mean, see if this works. Oh, this sucks when it does this. Hold on a minute. Yeah, I wrote this little folk song. I'll talk about it after I play.
I am only one man, but my words, they travel miles, up to satellites, down to wires, going at the speed of light. In the darkness, I type quickly.
Oh, see, okay, this is what happens. Oh, hey, Taylor's here. Hold on. Taylor.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man, how are you?
Oh, man, I'm recovering very well.
How's your health? Give us an update. This is Taylor Plan, saxophonist for the 10-piece band and a number of other projects. But you had a little health issues.
Yeah, health update. Saxes are back online 100%. Flute, A-. I also just accepted a little promoting booking gig over in this new place in Culver City, which is going to be a big deal.
It's going to be a big deal?
Whoa.
It's going to be a big deal?
Yeah, it's going to be a big deal. So I'll definitely be contacting you about that privately.
I don't know about going over to Culver City, though. That's a haul for me.
It's a haul, but you know what? It's right next to the train station. It's a really new place. It's up and coming. Really exciting.
Okay.
I also just wanted to lob a bit of praise to the Office Hours community about this Donald Trump music that you've been coming out with.
Oh, thanks. In fact, I was just playing a new one when you interrupted me. But,
God.
No,
I'm so sorry.
It's totally okay. There's just this issue I have with, it's very technical, but if I play something off my iTunes, I think I can do it this way. I do it this way. Hold on. How about, do you want to listen to it? You probably won't be able to hear it, though.
I think I might lend an ear if I can, you know.
No, I mean, I don't think you can actually hear it. Well, I'll play it, and you tell me if you can hear this.
Yeah, or just send it to me on email or something. Anyway,
but it's a song. I'm glad to hear you're all right. I'm going to play the song, and I'll touch base with you later.
Bye. One man,
so this song, this is it, and it's really just, you know, from the perspective of a one of these people tweeting at me.
Going at the speed of light. In the darkness, I type quickly and send messages like missiles, and they land without mercy because I know I'm right. With a glossary, I send messages like missiles. I use the list quickly. Attach images to represent me. I choose cartoons and not my face. I'm the judge, I'm the jury. I command the conversation for the betterment of our nation and the empowerment of our race. And if they made a movie of me, they'd have to cast the fattest actor. The glycerin they'd splatter on my face to grease me down, to grease me down, to grease me down. Sometimes I'm only kidding, and sometimes I get so mad. Sometimes I think I made a big mistake committing to this life online. But I got this little family of like-minded brothers, and we huddle under cover where being a jerk's just fine. And I can't get away with murder, but I can ruin somebody's weekend. Take down their websites and call them all kinds of names. But I'm having trouble sleeping. I don't know where this is headed, or maybe it is just a phase I'll grow out of someday. And if they made a movie of me, they'd have to cast the fattest actor. With glycerin they'd splatter on my face to grease me down, to grease me down, to grease me down, to grease me down.
All right, folks, that's been another episode of Office Hours. It's a brand new song. Like I said before, I was not pleased with the chorus. I just feel like it's a bit of a cheap shot. And I know it's just setting myself up for people to make fun of me and my weight, but damn, doesn't it sound good lyrically to say, if they made a movie of me, they'd have to cast the fattest actor. So that just, that sounds damn good. So whatever, maybe I'll put it out. It's just, you know, it's, you know, it's gonna be some goddamn shitstorm. Whatever. I will try to be back next week. It might not be possible because of my schedule. Don't you know that it's so troubling? And we'll go out with a little Grateful Dead here, folks. This is the Grateful Dead with Stephanie Says.
Stephanie says that she wants to know why she's given half.
See you next week, everybody. Maybe not.
People she hates now. Stephanie says.